It's focused on those spouses that have a current active license that is in good standing. So this doesn't necessarily help spouses gain that first license. There are other DOD programs that facilitate spouses getting their first license. But this is taking that active professional and allowing that individual to be able to transfer a license between states.
How complicated is this? Does it work the same in neighboring states, for instance, for nursing or teaching certificates and licenses?
Part of the sense of complexity in this whole issue is the fact that every occupation has a different process, different national boards, different national testing processes, and then each state has their own standards that they apply to these national processes. And so the complexity is certainly from the standpoint of trying to find something that can affect a change overall that can help military spouses so that we don't necessarily go occupation by occupation. We have not really been able to do much in terms of helping spouses who are attorneys, but we've had the great fortune of working with a group of military spouse attorneys who have taken on this issue and who have gained traction on a solution that they're now being able to demonstrate and inform other states of how they can help military spouses who are attorneys.
Is there any examples of this sharing of certifications already happening, or has this been one of those problems that's been going on for a while?
Well, there's certainly, I can share some of the best practices that we've had. First of all, we gained best practices from Colorado and Florida. Colorado provided us a statute that allows spouses to gain an endorsement without having to show a certain number of years of current experience to prove competency. They can show competency by some method other than, say, 2 out of the 5 past years of experience. This is important for a spouse because spouses oftentimes will have a break in their employment experience. You know, they may be assigned with their military member overseas, or they may be in a location that does not afford them the opportunity to practice their occupation. Colorado went a step further, and through administrative processes, an agreement between the Department of Regulatory Agencies and the boards that specifically oversee the occupations, they came up with an administrative process that allows the director of the Department of Regulatory Agencies to sign off on applications that clearly meet the requirements of an occupation, so that it does not that application does not necessarily have to wait for the board to convene and determine that the individual is qualified. So that provided a way of endorsement and a way of expediting that endorsement. And that was really what we found as being our calling, is to find those ways of helping an individual get their license transferred as quickly as possible. Florida provided an opportunity for a 6-month temporary license, all that's required of the individual is that they show that they have a current license, that they're married to a service member, that they are being assigned to the state of Florida, and that they have the required background check.
We're speaking with Marcus Beauregard. He's chief of the Defense Department State Liaison Office. And looking across the military members, how extensive is this problem?
We determine there's about 100,000 spouses who are in occupations that require licenses.
And what are they mostly doing? Nursing, teaching, lawyers?
The highest percentage are in teaching, nursing, other health-related occupations.
Okay, so where do we go from here? You've given the recommendations to the different states and the agencies that might be involved. What do they have to do next? How can this become policy for the land?
What we found is that was the 2010 best practices, and in 2011, states took those two best practices and applied their own processes, their own policies, and their own ingenuity into providing alternatives to that. So we have in Montana where boards are allowed to accept an individual's application upon affidavit and not require all the verification normally required of an endorsement, you know, things like a copy of the license, transcripts from the school that they attended, et cetera. And so based on the veracity of that application, they're able to approve a license, understanding that everything in that application is true. And if it is not, then, of course, they pull the individual's license upon verification after they do receive all the necessary documentation. Colorado is right now working on legislation to where they will allow an individual to work on their previous license until the time that they have an opportunity to get licensed in Colorado. We don't know if that'll pass, but that is another option. And, in fact, Utah passed legislation like that last year. So we're seeing these different opportunities, these different ways of getting the same requirement accomplished. And that's what I think we are asking states to do, is to think about what has been, you know, what people have said are possible, and to apply it to what they think they can get done in their state. And it's always, our approach is never prescriptive. It's always informative, and it's giving the states an opportunity to consider what's possible, and then through that dialogue, we look for a solution. Right now, we've got approximately 13 states that have, I say approximately because it's always increasing, states who are considering legislation, and we found that, as we have in the past, that states are open to the opportunity, willing to consider. Certainly a lot of dialogue, a lot of concern about maintaining the standards of the state, and that's something that we never want to the state to presume that we are asking them to do, is to change their standards. We understand that they have standards to mitigate risk, to ensure the safety of their citizens, and to also protect the integrity of the profession. The individuals within that state are not able to necessarily transfer to another state if the other states interpret that their licensing standards have been decreased. So we're always very conscious of not giving the impression that we want to lower standards. What we're looking for is reasonable accommodations that can take into consideration the limitations that spouses have because of their military lifestyle, the fact that they license, and if that takes 6 months out of the time that they have available, they lose an awful lot of opportunity to earn money for their families and to progress in their occupation. So we're just looking for states to recognize that we're not trying to make these spouses a special beneficiary, but to just look for ways of leveling the playing field so that they have as much an opportunity as anyone else to have a career over the lifetime that they spend in the military.